the life and the days to celebrate his passion and live through the Holy Week this week. We're going to start with an English message to our youth and the English-speaking people in the church. The gospel from the third hour this year, tonight, talks about, we call it the gospel of gratitude and betrayal. It shows a contrasting, two very contrasting personalities that are depicted in the gospel of the third hour tonight. One is Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and the second is Judas the Iscariot, who was one of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we would like to do, especially these days in a society that we struggle and our youth struggle to understand how society is pushing us to accept things that are contradictory to what the Bible teaches us, it is important for us to take measures and to understand the role models that we have so that we can follow the positive role models and avoid the pitfalls of the bad role models. So what we're going to do in the next few minutes is compare the personalities and the actions of both Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and Judas the Iscariot from a couple of aspects and compare what they have done and what they have learned about our Lord Jesus Christ and the reactions that they had to that relationship between themselves and our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let's talk about their knowledge, their level of knowledge of the Lord, their relationship meeting with the Lord, and the level of knowledge that they had of the Lord. The Bible mentions that the Lord loved the family of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. However, the gospel tells us that there were three visits. There were three times that it was mentioned in the Holy Gospel that our Lord Jesus Christ had met and had an interaction with Mary, the sister of Lazarus. The first one was Luke chapter 10, the Lord's visit to the family. The second was John 11, where it was the raising of Lazarus. We all know the story of our Lord when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And the third one is the Gospel according to St. John chapter 12, the farewell dinner, which is depicted in the Gospel of the third hour tonight. So really, if you think about it, the interactions between our Lord Jesus Christ and Mary, the sister of Lazarus, is really summarized in those three kinds of visits, the three interactions that are at least referenced in the Holy Gospel. On the other hand, if we look at Judas the Iscariot being one of the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, it gives us an indication that Judas must have spent at least 3 years with Christ, if not maybe a little bit less. But he has witnessed, he has been with Christ through his ministry. He witnessed all the miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ performed. He was there in many of the occasions where our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. So the level of interaction between Judas the Iscariot and our Lord Jesus Christ is multiple folds of the interactions and the relationship that our Lord Jesus Christ had from a time perspective with Mary, the sister of Lazarus. The second interesting comparison is the strength of the faith and the acknowledgement of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we go back to the Gospel according to St. John chapter 11, it reads, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was," that's after her brother had died, "and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" So those words by themselves are a clear declaration of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, because she's clearly saying, had you been here, you would have overcome the illness that he had had, you would have been able to heal him, and you would have been able to restore his life. So she is declaring very clearly the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the other side, if we look at Judas the Iscariot and his reaction, he must have doubted the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He must have been thinking about, there are two paths. One is a winning team and one is a losing team. And I'm trying to figure out, as Judas, which team should I be on? Which one is the winning team? Is it the team of Christ and his apostles, disciples? Or is it the team of the Jews and the Pharisees who seem to be more powerful? So the fact that he selected the other team thinking they are more powerful is by itself a declaration or denouncing of the divinity of Christ, because he did not believe that Christ is on the winning team. Thirdly, humbleness. When we look at Mary, the sister of Lazarus, we find that in all the stories that are written about her or the references to her in the gospel, her favorite spot has been at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was her favorite spot. She always sat there, and she always listened, and she always had an attentive ear to what he was saying. Actually, if you count the number of words that Mary had said and are referenced in the Bible, there are a total of 7 words. So she was listening far more than she was speaking, that she was accepting what our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching her. So she was quite humble. The fact that she was sitting at our Lord's feet was always an indication of her humbleness, her willingness to learn and to be taught by our Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if we look at Judas the Iscariot, he took it upon himself to appear as if he was jealous or zealous about the way that Mary had spent the expensive perfume, and he appeared to be the one defending the poor people, saying that this money could have been spent helping other poor people. So he took it upon himself to appear as if he's the defender of the poor, but in fact that's a demonstration of his ego and his arrogance, instead of accepting that act of love that Mary did for our Lord Jesus Christ. A life of repentance. The fact that we also reference the fact that Mary always sat at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ is a symbol of repentance, is a symbol of accepting that she needed God's grace in her life. She knew that she needed that kind of grace to come from God. So, on the other hand, our Lord Jesus Christ must have given Judas multiple chances to repent on his actions, but he refused those actions. So it is a reminder for all of us that God is always open for our repentance, but it's an action that is expected of us. God expects us to take the first initiative towards repentance. Next one is gratitude. When our Lord Jesus Christ rose Lazarus from the dead, Mary expressed her gratitude to the Lord for raising her brother from the dead by anointing his feet with expensive fragrant oil. So that's her method of expressing gratitude to God. That was the most precious thing she had. She also used her hair, which is always known to be a symbol of a woman's dignity and beauty, and she used that to wipe the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. So she presented the most precious things that she had and presented those to the Lord. And on the other hand, if we look at Judas the Iscariot, with all the things that God had done for him, or Lord Jesus Christ has done for him, his gratitude was not there. He did not express any gratitude towards that caring and loving that our Lord Jesus Christ must have showed to him amongst the many people that have seen and witnessed firsthand God's compassion and love. And instead, he was content with 30 coins of silver as a price to deliver our Lord Jesus Christ. The next comparative point is the true meaning of love. As we said, Mary expressed her gratitude and her love for Christ by giving up the most expensive, the most precious thing that she ever had. On the other side, the kiss that Judas Iscariot gave Christ is now become the standard symbol of betrayal and false emotions of love. You always reference that when you want to make an example or a reference of something that is not true, that is fake, that is not genuine. We always reference that kiss of Judas because it was never intended to be a true expression of love. Finally, actions that we do in light and in darkness. When Mary wanted to declare her gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ, she actually did that by pouring that precious fragrance and wiping his feet with her hair in front of everybody else, despite the fact that people commented on that in a negative way, including Judas himself. So she did that in front of everybody because she knew this was genuine demonstration of love. She didn't have second thoughts about being questioned or critiqued for what she has expressed in terms of love. She was open about it. She did it in front of everybody else. On the other hand, when we look at what Judas did, he went to deliver Christ in the middle of the night, in the darkness, when nobody was there. So it's a demonstration that actions that are done in light are actions that are genuine, that you are doing without any concern or any fear, because you know what you're doing is absolutely right. While actions that you feel you're going to end up doing in the darkness, you've got to question yourself, am I doing the right thing, or am I trying to hide behind the darkness of evil? The other thing that I think is important for us to understand, human beings are not people that we are not the kind of people that would flip from good to bad instantly. So I would assume or argue that the deterioration of Judas's spirituality happened over a period of time. This did not happen overnight. Yes, there was the financial motive. Yes, there was the influence of the Jews and the Pharisees and the leaders. Yes, he decided to join what he claimed would be the winning team, but his relationship must have been deteriorating over time. So it is a warning sign for us to say that our spiritual life, the devil uses time in his own benefit. He uses time to move us from hot spiritually to lukewarm and then to cold. Over time, over extended period of time. He has that patience to work over a long period of time. So what God is expecting of us, and I think what the life of Mary and the actions of Mary demonstrates to us, is the consistency of spirituality. God is expecting us to be consistent in our dependence on Him, in our reliance on Him, in our relationship with Him. Yes, we will go through ups and downs, but we have to always strive to be consistent. And I think that's the uniqueness of the story of Mary. She went through a hard time. She lost her brother. She lost the man of the house, as we have witnessed through the different stories and the miracles of the Bible. Even the widow that had the one son who passed away, and our Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on her. At that time, to lose the man of the house was a very significant issue. So she went through hardships, yet her faith in the divinity of Christ, her true love to God, and her firm belief that He can resolve any situation that she goes through was never, ever a question. So the lesson for us is we should focus on our spiritual life in a way that does not allow us to swing vastly between hot and cold, but we have to strive to be consistent in our relationship with God. So in summary, Mary is a great example for us in terms of a positive role model that shows consistency, even when it's an environment and a society that promotes beliefs and behaviors and attitudes that are against our belief. We are reminded always, specifically tonight, with Mary as a symbol of stability in her relationship with God and her faith with God. And we use Judas as an example of a negative reaction to actions that our Lord Jesus Christ, positive actions that our Lord Jesus Christ shared with him. كنا بنتكلم شوية على التناقض ما بين الشخصيتين بتوع النهاردة بالليل اللي هو إنجيل الساعة الثالثة من ليلة الخميس. الإنجيل بيتكلم عن شخصيتين متناقضتين تماما في طريقة التعامل مع ربنا وطريقة الطريقة اللي تعامل بها ربنا معاهم هي لكن الطريقة اللي هم ردوا بها على التعامل بتاع ربنا مختلفة تماما. شخصية مريم أخت العازر وشخصية يهوذا الإسخريوطي. فكنا بنتكلم إنه ربنا متوقع منا الثبات الروحي. الثبات الروحي ده اللي هو الإنسان اللي بيحاول يكون دايما ماشي في الطريق بتاع ربنا بغض النظر عن الألمات أو الصعوبات أو التجارب. خاصة في الظروف اللي احنا بنمر بيها والظروف الصعبة اللي احنا شايفينها بتحصل. الثبات الروحي ده مهم جدا إن احنا نتمسك بيه ونتعامل مع ربنا بشيء يعني ربنا متوقع منا حاجة معينة. مش عايزنا نكون up and down. احنا دايما اوقات بنلاقي مثلا في الشغل او في الجامعة او في المدرسة you must have dealt with somebody اللي هو يوم يكون كويس ويوم يكون very the opposite. فربنا متوقع منا ان احنا يكون عندنا ثبات في العلاقة معاه, ان احنا نحاول نكون ملتزمين بالصلاة بالاسرار. مش عايزنا نخش في الرولر كوستر اللي هي up and down دي. مريم شخصية رائعة ان الواحد يبص لها ويشوف ازاي انها مرت بتجارب صعبة من ضمنها وفاة لعازر انتقال اخوها العائل الوحيد كان الاسرة وده في الوقت ده كان حاجة كبيرة جدا وخسارة فادحة لانه رب البيت ده كان بالنسبة لهم هو ده العائل الوحيد واخوها فكانت تجربة صعبة ومع ذلك لم تفقد الامل اطلاقا ان ربنا قادر ان هو يقوم الأموات وفي نفس الوقت إن هو يعني الله الكلمة اللي هو يقدر يقيم من الأموات. فالثبات الروحي ده اللي ربنا عايزه منا ممكن نبص له من ثلاث ترمومترات ممكن نسميهم ترمومترات. شوف الإنسان الواحد يقدر يعني يقيس مقدار الثبات الروحي بتاعه ده. الحاجة الأولانية أو الترمومتر الأول تأثير المشورة على شخصية الإنسان وعلى تصرفاته. مشهورة بوزيتيف أو مشهورة نيجاتيف. إزاي الإنسان ممكن يكون المشهورة اللي بتوصل له دي أو بتجيله من ناس تانية أو من ذاته ممكن تأثر عليه بالبوزيتيف أو بالنيجاتيف. فالإنسان يقدر يحسب مقدار تأثير المشهورة بتاعة الآخرين عليه. الحاجة التانية اللي ممكن نقيس عليها الثبات الروحي دي تعاملنا مع التجارب. يعني إحنا عارفين إن ربنا هيسمح لنا بتجارب. فطريقة التعامل بتاعتنا مع التجارب اللي بيبعثها لنا ربنا ده مؤشر لثباتنا لأنه طبعا التجربة بيجي معها المعونة من عند ربنا فالطريقة الواحد يتعامل بها مع التجربة مهمة جدا. الحاجة الثالثة وهي دي أهم حاجة الارتباط بربنا. الإنسان ممكن ياخد مشورة من الناس ممكن يمر بتجارب لكن في الآخر اللي ربنا عايزه منا هو ارتباطنا به خلال هذه المراحل المختلفة. What I want to do, أنا عايز بس أروح مثلا للساعة الأولى من النهاردة الساعة الأولى من صباح الأربعاء ونبص لواحدة من القرايات. هو طبعا كل القرايات لو بصينا على الثلاث نقط دول أو الثلاث أعمدة دول أو الثلاث ترمومترات دول هنقدر نبص على القرايات دي ونفصص القرايات دي بنفس المنظار يعني. لكن هناخد بس عشان الوقت هناخد أول قراية وهي خروج 17. هنقرا مع بعض مثلا الساعة الأولى. ثم ارتحل كل جماعة بني إسرائيل من برية سيناء بحسب مراحلهم على موجب قول الرب ونزلوا في رافزين ولم يكن ماء للشعب ليشرب فخاصم الشعب موسى وقالوا له أعطنا ماء لنشرب فقال لهم موسى لماذا تخاصمونني ولماذا تجربون الرب وعطش الشعب وتذمر على موسى قائلين لماذا أصعدتنا من مصر لتقتلنا وأولادنا ومواشينا بالعطش فصرخ موسى إلى الرب قائلا ماذا أفعل بهذا الشعب إنهم بعد قليل يرجمونني فقال الرب لموسى انطلق قدام الشعب وخذ معك من شيوخ إسرائيل وعصاك التي ضربت بها البحر خذها في يدك وسر أمامهم إلى صخرة حريب ها أنا أقف هناك قدامك على صخرة حريب وأضرب الصخرة فيخرج منها ماء ويشرب الشعب ففعل موسى هكذا على مشهد بني إسرائيل وسمي ذلك المكان تجربة ومخاصمة بني إسرائيل لأنهم جربوا الرب قائلين أفي وسطنا الرب أم لا. فلو نبص للثلاث نقط اللي احنا قلنا عليهم مشهورة الناس وقرينا الجزء ده تاني بيقول فخاصم الشعب موسى. طب هل يا ترى ما كانش فيه ولا واحد من الشعب ده فاكر ان ربنا وقف معاهم وطلعهم من مصر؟ فده يدينا انطباع انه كان probably في ناس منهم يمكن فاكرين الحكايه دي لكن تاثير الناس اللي حواليهم التاثير النيجاتيف بتاع الناس اللي حواليهم خلاهم يمشوا في نفس الخط ويرفضوا اعتقادهم اليقيني ان ربنا هو اللي طلعهم من مصر ويمشوا في ركب الجماعه ويرفضوا ويتذمروا على ربنا. فده اكزامبل لمشوره سيئه اكزامبل لانفلوينس سيء من الناس حوالين. التجربة نفسها ده بيورينا بقى ان هم مش بس تذمروا على ربنا واشتكوا مع ان هو ربنا اللي هم عطشانين ده هو ده اللي عداهم ما بين ملايين الامطار المكعبه من الميه في البحر الاحمر. فيعني اللي قادر انه كان يفصل البحر الاحمر ده ويعديهم مش هيقدر يسقيهم ميه ومع ذلك شكوا وتذمروا. الكلمة الخطيرة هنا الشك اللي جالهم لدرجة ان هم بيقولوا أفي وسطنا الرب أم لا. يعني وصلوا للمرحلة ان هم مش عارفين ربنا معاهم ولا لا، ربنا لسه موجود ولا سابهم، ربنا معاهم ولا راح حته ثانيه. فرد الفعل ده بتاع الشعب رد فعل خطير لتجربه هم مروا بيها، تجربه عطش او تجربه مش سهله، والواحد سهل انه يوصفها بالكلام لكن صعب انه يعيشها بالحقيقه. لكن ناس عصرت وشافت بعينيها المعجزه بتاعه خروجهم من شعب مصر، وصلوا لمرحله في التجربه ان هم اول ما ربنا جربهم تذمروا. وهذا يعني طبعا انتوا عارفين انه على مدار الأربعين سنه اللي قضوها كان في الهوت اند كولد، مره يعني يشكروا ربنا ويبقوا فرحانين، ومره يتذمروا ويبعدوا عن ربنا ويعني denounce God. فبيوري لك انه الاب اند داون بتاع يهوذا ده متمثل في حتى الرياكشن بتاع شعب اسرائيل على مدار الأربعين سنه. الارتباط بالرب، لو نبص الاول ايه في القرايات دي بيقول: ثم ارتحل كل جماعه بني اسرائيل من بريه سيناء بحسب مراحلهم على موجب قول الرب. يبقى في البدايه كانوا ماشيين صح، في البدايه كانوا متكلين على ربنا، في البدايه مشي ورا الاوامر اللي ادها لهم ربنا والبلان اللي حطه لهم ربنا، فالبدايه كانت كويسه. لكن اول ما تجربوا بعدوا وتعبوا وتذمروا وابتدوا يشكوا، وممكن يكون من الاسباب دي زي احنا الثلاث اضلاع دول او الثلاث ترمومترات دول المشهوره السيئه، وانه بدل ما الناس اللي فاكره عمل ربنا معاها يكونوا بوزيتيف انفلوينس على الباقيين، لا، الناس اللي كانت شايفه الكلام ده تاثرت بالنيجاتيف باي مشوره الناس. فنتعلم من الحكايه دي انه ربنا متوقع منا ان احنا نتتبع تعليماته ونتتبع خطواته اللي هو حطها لنا، حتى لو احنا شفنا مجتمع حوالينا بيكسر في التعليمات دي، او بيدينا امبريشن انه اللي هم بيقولوه بره ده هو ده الصح وان احنا اللي غلط. هو ده الثبات الروحي اللي ربنا عايزه منا، خاصه في الاوقات الصعبه والتجارب الصعبه اللي احنا بنمر بيها حاليا، وخاصه في المجتمعات الغريبه اللي ابتدت تعاند اي تعاليم مسيحيه، ويعني تحاول تهد في كل المبادئ اللي بيعلمنا ربنا عليها في الكتاب المقدس. لان احنا كل المبادئ دي من